Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Lying in a locker.
On the floor, Jeff.
Yeah. And it's these files, man.
I'm not comfortable with this.
No, it was just lying there.
You should put up a note in the ladies' locker room.
Put up a note? Hello? I don't think so.
So despite the lukewarm reception from critics, Burn After Reading remained near the top of the box office sales over the weekend, slipping only one spot from its number one slot the weekend prior. The Coen brothers, known for their underlying narratives of meaningless existence, may owe some of the popularity of Burn After Reading to moviegoers' dismal feelings about the current economy. Who knows? So are there any movies in the upcoming batch of fall films that could also get a bump from current politics and economics? For now, we've got film critic for the New York Press, Armin White, and Slate.com film critic, Dana Stevens. Dana Stevens and Armin White, welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Let's just talk briefly about Burn After Reading. Both of you saw this film. Dana?
Burn After Reading. Yeah, maybe I hope that maybe Armand and I can get a little dialectic going about it, because maybe he liked it more than me. But yeah, the movie kind of left me cold. I don't quite understand why it is doing so well in the current climate, whether it has anything to do with the economy or just people excited about the next Coen Brothers movie after their last one, you know, did such great business and won so many awards. But to me, it was sort of a minor Coen Brothers comedy, which is not a genre that I revel in anyway. What about you, Armand?
In the grand scheme of Coen Brothers films, it probably is minor. But it's also very funny, which is why I think it is something of a success for them. I think people see it. I think they're entertained by it, and they're entertained in ways that are probably very, very profound and significant. I think it's a movie with an underlying political current, meaning it's a movie about how lost people are in this political age. And I imagine that if you laugh at the movie, that you understand that and respond to how the Coen brothers depict it.
In the opposite style of Burn After Reading, films such as Mike Leigh's Happy Go Lucky and Jonathan Demme's Rachel Getting Married are in a lighter vein. Let's hear a clip from the trailer for Happy Go Lucky.
I am happy.
I don't think you are.
Well, I am.
Yeah, it can be tough at times. That's part of it, isn't it? I've got a great job, brilliant kids, amazing friends. I'm a very lucky lady, I know that.
All right, there's no need to rub it in.
So, Armin, I mean, maybe this is a little more of what usually happens in tough times. People go for escapism, if this is escapism.
Well, if it is escapism, then it's the best kind of escapism, because it while entertaining you, I think these movies, Happy Go Lucky by Mike Leigh and Rachel Getting Married by Jonathan Demme, they're entertaining, but they also bring you right back to what the truth is of human existence, about how difficult it is for human beings to get along with each other, but it insists that they do. And in doing that, I mean, there are two films that I'm very excited about, and I can't wait for them to open for more people to see them and learn something from them, as well as being entertained.
Did you previously call them reactionary by virtue of how they remind people of optimism and being humane and hopeful?
Well, I wouldn't call them reactionary, but I'd certainly call them humanist visions. Both Mike Leigh and Jonathan Demme, I think, believe that human beings are, while people are alive, that their lives mean something on Earth, and that it's important for people to get along with each other. And in both these movies, we have examples of characters who are suffering in some way, and yet they're all involved in social intercourse. And that makes the movies exciting and meaningful.
I haven't been able to see the Mike Leigh movie yet. I'm hoping to catch it at the New York Film Festival, but I'm very amused to see the interviews with Mike Leigh and people asking him, so this is your feel-good movie, right, Mike Leigh? And he just always cracks up. I mean, I don't think that Mike Leigh could be capable of making a movie that isn't in some deep way about class and about class struggle and, you know, about how difficult it is to stay alive.
And what better time for political films than an election season? Boogeyman, a film about Republican strategist Lee Atwater, will be playing at the Cinema Village starting this week. Let's hear a montage from that trailer.
Get down here, Dukakis, and answer that question here.
I wasn't going to let him question my patriotism.
I'm not questioning his patriotism. I'm questioning his judgment.
We want you to go out there and kick some of Michael Dukakis and kick it hard.
Why does this sound so familiar, Dana?
Now, this is a movie I really, really recommend people. I know it's only showing in one theater in New York, but try to make it down and see it, because this is so timely, this film about Lee Atwater, the Republican strategist who I didn't know before seeing this film was Karl Rove's mentor in some ways, and who's sort of the father of, you know, the way current political campaigns are run. So I really recommend it as a strangely prescient and eerie take on the campaign.
Could this small, low-budget documentary, Armand, take off at all, given the moment?
I would say not. I particularly am really saddened by most documentaries I see, because they're always so stridently partisan, and actually not even, I wouldn't call them documentaries anymore. Most nonfiction films we see turn out to be some form of propaganda. I'm really turned off by most of them. I think people stand to learn a lot more and to get more insight from a movie like Rachel Getting Married, actually, which is political but not obviously political. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Spike Lee's Miracle of St. Anna yet, Armin?
Yeah, I have seen that.
And
I just say it's probably a movie that people best be aware of and stay away from.
Why?
Only because it's superficially political and basically just a piece of agitation on Spike Lee's part. It's set in World War II. It's about a troop of black GIs who are in Italy towards the end of the war, and how they encounter a small village and fight the Nazis there. But it's also very anachronistic in that the characters speak and behave in very modern hip-hop era terms. Mm. So it's really just another piece of Spike Lee agitprop.
Did you like James McBride's book that it's based on, and this takes it to agitprop, or do you think the book was too?
Don't know the book. The film is full of Spike Lee's view.
Dana Stevens, you see it?
I haven't seen the Spike Lee yet, but I have one little addendum to our disagreement about Lee Atwater, which is that if you're interested in political propaganda and trying to, you know, to find your way out from beneath it, then I think you're even more bound to see the Lee Atwater movie, because it's about sort of the ultimate propagandist.
Armand, we got about a minute left. You're going to be speaking at the New York Film Festival panel on the state of film criticism. And I guess you're going to bring up the theme from your New York Press article, What We Don't Talk When We Talk About Film. What don't we talk about?
What we don't talk about is politics, actually. We don't talk about the ideological significance of storytelling and of filmmaking as a political act. But sad to say, I won't be talking about it there, because I wasn't invited to attend that panel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have bad information on that.
That's okay. But someone should discuss what we don't talk about when we talk about movies, because leaving out a political discussion of films, I think, is a disservice to viewers as well as the filmmakers.
Dana, anything on that?
Well, I mean, just in terms of this fall's movies, I wonder if Armand is quaking in fear of the Oliver Stone movie that's coming up, talking about propaganda.
I'm excited about Oliver Stone, because he always comes from a position nobody expects him to come from. And I'm really excited to see W. I think it might be a surprise to most people, the view he takes on W.
If nothing else, the release in late October is very, very timely, right on the eve of the election. I'm curious to see it, too.
Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate.com, and Armand White, film critic for the New York Press. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.